What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today, as your Philadelphia Phillies have a 2-0 lead over the Diamondbacks in the National League Championship Series, as we shift the series over to Arizona out there in Chase Field, which will be pretty shortly, less than 12 hours from now, 5:07 Eastern start time. I guess in the West Coast time, it will be about 2:00 out there. So very, very, look, it's kind of what I expected through the first couple of games, and we're going to get into it. Phil's pretty much, I mean, yes, they only won the first game by a couple of games. Didn't feel like that, though. Didn't feel like that. Game two, it felt more like that in game one, in game two, where you win 10-0. Easy work for the Phils offense and for the Phils pitching, obviously, scoring 10 runs and giving up zero. So pretty easy show today. I'm going to recap games one and two for you, my takeaways from said games. We'll get into a preview of game number three starting tonight with Ranger Suarez on the mound for the Phils, Brandon Fought on the mound for the D-backs. Then we'll get into a recap of the ALCS game three. Then a few other stuff before we get you out of here and get you set for game three tonight. So let's start with recaps of games one and two. Not going to get into what I normally do for you guys, which is a recap of every scoring play. No, just going to give you the general stuff if you didn't catch games one and two for whatever reason. So game one, Kyle Schwarber is back. First pitch bomb. I mean, they couldn't even get into the broadcast yet. They didn't even have the score dial or whatever you want to call it up there. Kyle Schwarber, first pitch homer. And Kyle Schwarber is back for the NLCS after having a bit of a rough start to the postseason, kind of just like last year. It's kind of freaky how Kyle Schwarber rough starts last postseason and then gets it going in the NLCS, and same thing starting here, replicating 2022. Also, Bryce Harper, Nick Castellanos with a couple of dingers of their own. Bryce and Castellanos continuing their stellar postseasons with Harper per usual, and Nick Castellanos just been destroying the baseball like he did leaving off from the NLDS. So those two give you home runs. And then JT Realmuto starting to get a little hot here in game one. He gets a 2-RBI single in the bottom of the fifth, and that would be crucial, as those would be the insurance runs for the Phils, as they would go on to win that game 5-3 with another good outing from Zach Wheeler. He keeps it going, so Zach Wheeler has a very good outing in game one to support with the support of the homers and the couple of RBIs by JT Realmuto. Game two, you have Merrill Kelly, who's going to be on the mound for the Diamondbacks. He says what he says pregame. Not the smartest thing to say. He said after the game that it was taken out of context a little bit. But he says before the game that he would be surprised if the environment in Citizens Bank Park would trump what the environment felt like in the World Baseball Classic with USA and Venezuela. And I don't think he was right. And I think he should have walked those words back. After the Phils, they demolished him. Well, not demolished. I won't say that. He had a good outing up until, I believe it was the fifth or the sixth inning, where the Phils really get to him. Trey Turner would hit a home run in the first inning off of Kelly. And then Kyle Schwarber would hit two homers of his own, one in the third, one in the sixth inning. And the Phils would end up scoring 10 runs in this game. You got a couple of RBIs from JT Realmuto. He had three. Alec Bohm had 2 RBIs of his own. So the Phils offense getting it done. Behind, by the way, Aaron Nola, another tremendous outing. He is having a great postseason. This time last year, he did not have a good NLCS. This is where things kind of changed for Nola in the playoffs last year, but he is just keeping it up consistently. He's having phenomenal outings. His knuckle curve looked incredible on Tuesday night. So behind Aaron Nola and the huge offensive output, Phillies get it done in game two and take a take a 2-0 lead. Actually feels commanding, but they take a 2-1 series lead behind their horses and behind the offense, scoring 15 runs in the first two games. So games one and two going the Phil's way. Takeaways from these games. So the first thing, and I said this before the series started, the D-backs just aren't in the Phillies weight class. Like, it's not even, like, I understand, and I've given the D-backs their respect. I feel like I have done that. I've given the Diamondbacks their respect coming into the series. Anytime a team makes it to the National League Championship Series, you have to give them their respect. They beat the Brewers. They won five straight games between the Brewers and the Dodgers. But the D-backs just aren't in the Phillies weight class. Again, I'll say this going back to the D-backs. Look, the Brewers have a bit of postseason history of maybe choking just a little bit, of having good regular seasons and then not really doing anything much come postseason. The Dodgers, albeit winning that 2020 World Series in the COVID-shortened season, they have a history of winning like 100-plus games and then not doing anything in the playoffs, whether it's the first round or whether it's the NLCS. And they didn't have pitching. They had no pitching. And Clayton Kershaw is known for, being terrible in the postseason, let's be real, or being mediocre at best, okay? Save for the 2020 postseason. And so the D-backs did what they had to do, okay? I understand that. But the D-backs, it was more about the Brewers and Dodgers having that kind of postseason, the history of not being so great in the postseason. The Phillies, they know how to win. To me, they're an underrated team. They should be more, I understand they don't win 100 games like the Dodgers or the Braves or any team like that. But I really feel like the Phillies are a really talented team, top to bottom, whether it's pitching, their offense, of course, and their bullpen, underrated. I feel like the Phillies should be, and they're proving to everybody why they should be mentioned with these teams like the Astros and the Dodgers and the Braves. I mean, the Astros team last year was really, really good, and the Phillies, to even give them, a really good series and get to six games, like, I think is saying something. It wasn't just lightning in a bottle. I know, and I said that for a while, that last year was lightning in a bottle, but I really feel like they're proving this year that last year was not lightning in a bottle, and that the Phillies are really, really, really should be in the upper echelon of Major League Baseball, and especially the National League for sure. And they're going to, and I think the Phillies are going to get to the World Series this year. And, I really think they're going to, especially if they win the World Series this year, of course, they're going to have to be put on notice with these other teams in the upper echelon of baseball. But the Phillies are just proving to the baseball world that the D-backs are not in their weight class. They're just not. The Phillies, five runs, and Wheeler having an unbelievable game, and 10 runs in the second game. I mean, they're just, I understand CBP. CBP is a big thing right now. It's a big thing. But the Phillies are just proving that the D-backs are not, the D-backs aren't in the Phillies, class as far as the ranks go in baseball. And the Phillies are just proving that right now, and I think they're going to continue to prove it out as the series goes to Phoenix and Chase Field. So, number one takeaway from games one and two, D-backs are not in the Phillies weight class. Second takeaway, offense coming up big. Offense coming up huge, like I said, especially in game two. But You have number one, Kyle Schwarber replicating last year's National League Championship Series. And he had a 1500 OPS last year's NLCS, somewhere close to that. And he has an even higher one now. I think it's like 1,700. I know it's only through two games, but whatever. He already has as many home runs this NLCS compared to last. Three this year, three last year. So Kyle Schwarber already proving that he's going to be a key cog the rest of the way for the Phils. Runners in scoring position. Game two. I think game one, they weren't so great. The home runs got it done, and Wheeler got it done. And Realmuto hit those couple of RBIs, and he did get it done when he needed to. But different story in game two. 5-for-7 with runners in scoring position. 5-for-7. Big deal. Especially that's something that's been trouble for the Phils throughout the year, runners in scoring position, especially when they were like bottom five, bottom 10 at a certain point mid-season. But they cleaned that up in game two. I think that's a big deal. They're going to have to continue to do that against Brandon Pfaadt tonight. I guess it'll be Ryan Nelson in game four, but they're going to have to continue to do that the rest of the way as they try to close out the series against Arizona. But not close out yet. It's still 2-0. You got to give Arizona somewhat of a chance. Even though I really don't. But last one from the offense coming up big, JT Realmuto's numbers in the postseason now. He is up to, I believe, a 300 average, a 344 on base. I think his OPS is somewhere hovering around 900. So JT Realmuto now getting hot when he really needs it, when the team definitely, even though a good portion of the offense has been good, but I mean, it doesn't hurt to have JT Realmuto getting hot. Realmuto getting it going here against the D-backs in the NLCS. So, second takeaway, offense coming up big. You got Schwarber, runner in scoring position in game two, and JT Realmuto getting hot. And last one, which I thought was like a huge key for the Diamondbacks. The Phils horses, obviously, Wheeler and Nola, out-dueling the D-backs horses, Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. Now, I didn't think both were terrible. I think Kelly's and Gallen's stat line in the end didn't look phenomenal. I didn't think they had awful outings. But the D-backs needed Gallen, needed Merrill Kelly to have big, 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 big time starts, and they did not. They did not. Zach Gallen's been one of the better pitchers in baseball over the last, 3-4 years. Merrill Kelly, been a good pitcher the last couple of years, being their number two. But they needed them to have huge starts, and they did not. The Phillies, opposite. Nola, Wheeler, huge starts. D-backs needed the opposite to happen for them to have a chance in this series, and neither happened. And I really don't think the D-backs have any sort of a chance here the rest of the way, barring like a Phillies meltdown, which I don't think anybody in the baseball world can happen, but you never know. So again, takeaways from games one and two. D-backs aren't in Phillies weight class. They proved that so far. Offense coming up big. And the Phillies aces slash horses, whatever, outdueled the D-backs horses, and the D-backs needed them to have big performances for them to have a shot in this series. Those two things did not happen. So let's get a preview to game three, because that's what we all care about as we head into game number three tonight. 5:07 start time, just to remind you. Ranger Suarez on the mound for the Phils. Brandon Pfaadt on the mound for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Ranger coming into this game, starting both games one and four of the NLCS. He had an earned run so far in eight and I believe it's like somewhere around nine innings of work for Ranger Suarez. And you have Brandon Pfaadt on the other side for the D-backs. He has a 5.72 ERA on the season, 18 starts, and that's just around almost 100 innings pitched throughout the regular season. And then he has 3 earned and 7 innings through the 2023 playoffs. I believe last time out versus the Dodgers, he was kind of their opener. I mean, yeah, with four plus maybe 5 innings of work, somewhere around there. Had a good outing, much better than his first time out against the Brewers, even though they were able to get the win there, the D-backs against the Brewers. But those are your two starters, Suarez and Pfaadt. And then looking ahead to this game, so keys to a win. Now, the Phillies don't have any experience against Brandon Pfaadt. Now, Brandon Pfaadt is a You know, he was a rookie this year. Hasn't been great. But I'm fully expecting that the Phillies to, I don't want to say light up, but I kind of want to say light up. Phil's offense, light up by Brendan Faught. So first key to a W tonight, if you are the Fightins. Number one, score runs early and set the tones like game one and two. And I know it's kind of beating a dead horse of, I feel like every time I talk about keys to a win, but it's just, it's true. You don't want to give this kid, Brendan Faught, any confidence. You know, his numbers overall this postseason aren't bad. You know, what is it? Three earned in seven innings of work. So, I mean, that's not bad. I mean, if you put that into one start, that's not bad. But you don't want to give this kid any confidence, especially against a talented offense like the Phillies. You don't want to give him any confidence. The Phillies need to step on the gas pedal from the beginning. Not saying they need to hit bombs. I'd like to see them try to score runs other way. But I mean, if you want to hit five bombs in the first inning, go ahead. Be my guest. But score runs early. Set the tone like you did in games one and two. Second key to a win. Ranger gives you solid outing and length like he did against Atlanta in game four at home. So, I like what Topper did in game number four, where he let Ranger go. What was that? Five innings, and he didn't take him out. I think Thompson's like listening to the fans or anything after a lot of fans were like, oh, I still don't want you to take Ranger out that early like you did in game one, which was what, like the middle of the fourth? No, but do what you did in game four. Let him go five. Let him go five. Save your bullpen for when you really need it or when Ranger's like really in trouble or anything like that. So they need Ranger to give you a solid outing and length like he did against Atlanta in game four. At home. And then I guess that the last key to a win would probably be, you know, bullpen just doing what they have to do and just shut the door when they need to, just like you saw in game one where the bullpen comes in after Zach Wheeler and they were able to get the job done there. It was Sir Anthony, Alvarado, and Kimbrel, after Wheeler gives up a couple of runs, I think the Perdomo home run, I believe, right? So getting it to your high-leverage guys, which is your Alvarados, your Sir Anthonys, I'd like to see it. You know, Jeff Hoffman got some work the other night, but not a high-leverage situation. So I'm not sure if Topper doesn't necessarily trust Jeff Hoffman, but... either way, just whoever's coming in high leverage spots, or if it's not a high leverage spot, just do your job. And if it's not a high leverage spot, don't let the D-backs get back into the game by any means. Whoever it is, if it's Strom or Soto, who they haven't been using in as high of leverage, Strom did get a little bit, but maybe Soto, whoever it may be, Orion Kirkering. Bullpen shutting the door. That's my last key to a W. So those are your keys to the game tonight against the D-backs in game three. So score runs early. Ranger gives you solid outing and bullpen shuts the door. Those are my three keys to a W tonight. Other playoff series. So last night you had the Texas Rangers and Houston Astros in game three. I'm telling you, man, Houston in seven. I don't care. I said it before I went back to Houston or Texas here. Houston's going to win this series. They're going to win them all on the road. Well, until they get back home, which was game seven. But Houston wins 8-5 behind Jose Altuve home run. And Christian Javier has been the completely different pitcher in the playoffs so far for the Stros than he was in the regular season this year. He gave him 5 2/3, a couple of earned. Three hits, three strikeouts. His ERA is 1.69 on the postseason right now. And Max Scherzer on the other side for the Rangers. He gives four, gives up five. Not a great outing in his return from injury for Mad Max. So Houston, 12 hits, 8 runs on 12 hits. Texas, 5 runs on 6 hits. Even though Josh Jung, 2 homers, 4 RBIs. Gives you a multi-homer game. I think it was like his first one since... forget who on the Rangers, but Rangers not able to get it done, even though they put up a five spot on the Astros. Astros offense, just too much. So Texas now has a 2-1 lead on the Astros. I think it's going to go the distance over there, down there in Texas. So there's a recap on the American League Championship Series. Other couple of things. Gold Glove finalists were announced. You had a few Phillies that were announced with the finalists. JT Realmuto, among the catchers for, you know, representing Philadelphia. And he was first among all catchers in pop time this year at 183. So we'll see if JT can collect a Gold Glove here. Second, Bryson Stott. And just not surprisingly so. He's 16th in outs above average, which is third among Major League second basemen this year. He's tied for fifth in defensive run saved among second basemen this year. So we'll see if Stott would be awesome if he could win a Gold Glove. And then pitchers, you have Zach Wheeler, Taijuan Walker for the Fightins when it comes to Gold Glove finalists that were announced yesterday. So Realmuto, Bryson Stott, Zach Wheeler, Taijuan Walker, four Phillies representing finalists there for the Gold Glove. So looking forward to seeing if they win some Gold Gloves there. It would be Bryson Stott's first one, so that would be really exciting. And then some bets for tonight. You know, I got to give you guys some bets, of course. Number one, Bryson Stott, plus 210 to record two plus hits. He had a couple of hits last time on Tuesday in game two and a 10-0 win for the Fightins. I'm going to say Kyle Schwarber keeps, or not Kyle Schwarber, excuse me. I would love if Kyle Schwarber keeps it going, but I want to see, we need Stott to keep it going. 2-for-4. I would say he keeps it going. He kind of had like a rough start, to the postseason, but now, he gets it going last game. Maybe he gets it going this game, too. I'll say plus 210 to record two-plus hits. Take that bet for the Phils. Bryson Stott, plus 210 to record two-plus hits. Second, let's stick to Bryson Stott, plus 390 to record a stolen base. I'm saying he has a huge game. I think two hits, gets a stolen base. He gives you an RBI. I think he's going to hit a few RBIs. So I will say Bryson Stott, plus 390 to record a stolen base. So Stott, plus 210 to record two plus hits, plus Bryson Stott, plus 390 to record a stolen base. And lastly, Phillies 2-0 after first inning, plus 550. Bryson Stott's going to hit a couple of RBIs in that first inning. So take the Phillies. They're going to be up 2-0 after the first inning, plus 550. Phillies 2-0 after the first inning. Take the bet. Those are all off FanDuel. Take those. I'd do it if I were you. So that's going to do it for today's show. Again, game three starting tonight, 5:07 Eastern time. Every start has been 07 or 37, whatever. But Philly starting 5:07 tonight against the D-backs. Also, if you're out in Arizona and you're a Phils fan, get a ticket. They're like $10. Get a ticket. It's insane. If I was out in Arizona, I'd be going to games three and four. I'd be calling off work. But I'm not. I'm in Philly, and I'm not flying out there. I'll just stick on my couch. So that's going to do it for me, Francisco Rojas. Twitter, @Rojas_media_. Tweet me. Do all that fun stuff. Let's talk Phils. Let's talk Eagles-Dolphins this Sunday. So that's going to do it for me, Francisco Rojas, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.